following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Mark Schlereth here talking about the Insanity Workout. Let me tell you, folks, that Insanity has changed my life. And I know what you're saying. Come on, Mark. But you know, I've lost 30 pounds and I just started my 7th week of training. That's a year's worth of results in just over 6 weeks. And I did it without going to the gym or hiring a personal trainer or even lifting any weights. When I started this thing, I didn't think I'd be sitting here today looking the way I do now and saying that Insanity works. But I'm living proof. Maybe you're in the same place I was back then. You know, you have weight to lose. You know you could be more fit. You're not ready to give up on having that hard, chiseled body. Then maybe it's time you did what I did and try Insanity. So how about you? Do you want the hardest body of your life in 60 days from now? Then call 1-800-621-1155. That's 1-800-621-1155. Or click on the Insanity banner on my website at ESPNradio.com/mark. Insanity comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. So come on, join the Insanity at 1-800-621-1155 or ESPNradio.com/mark.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on a Thursday. Kind of scared. You know what they used to say, Doug, due to Spencer Schubert? There's a lot of things they used to say, Spencer, but you know the folks used to say back there in the Farmer's Almanac, first day of snow, that's how many big snows you're going to have that winter.
Mm.
It makes 25. Damn. I was hoping for 4.
Yeah.
How about that?
Hey.
Got up this morning probably a little bit before you, but that's cool because,
right, yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you know.
You need your beauty sleep.
Right. We don't wake up until about noon. No. But, no, snow. Nothing wrong with snow as long as it stops around, 3-4 o'clock, so we don't get snowed on for high school football.
Yeah, the playoffs begin today and want the kids to have their best opportunity, but it's going to be a cold one out there, and why not? Let's get out. Let's have some fun at football. First game today that concerns a team in our area is Southern Valley, 2:30 up at Crofton, and then games go all day until the final kickoffs and a whole bunch of them at 7 o'clock. And as usual, almost every game in the East bracket, because you don't have a lot of travel, is kicking off between 6 and 7. There are few more because of the travel in the West that are staggered through the afternoon. And we'll talk about that on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Doug Duda along with Spencer Schubert. We're also going to talk with Lance Creech, head men's basketball coach at Hastings College. Not only to preview their season, but earlier this week he said he was going to step down at the end of the year. We'll talk about that decision, what's next for the coach. And don't forget to get your fantasy football questions in to either our Dent Popper inbox or to our Facebook page, and all you have to do is get them in before the last segment. Luke Hoover is going to join us from RotoWire, as he does every Thursday, to find out what you can do with your team. So email us, Facebook us. The email, of course, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And, of course, the Facebook, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can go to ESPNSuperstation.com. If you're not hit the like button yet, you can do it on that. But, Spencer, the World Series last night, and what a performance by Kung Fu Panda, Pablo Sandoval. Who would have ever thunk it that Verlander would have as much problem as he did yesterday?
I think the shot of the game was when they decided to slow-mo Verlander's reaction to the second home run that he gave up to the Panda. They slow-moed it, and it was easy to read the lips. Wow. And that's that explained the game. We're actually watching him right now on TV. Verlander explained it. 0-3 in World Series starts. That is a stat that for an elite pitcher like that guy, kind of shocking. But, you know, I do think this is going to be a deep series. I think it's going to go maybe six. Can't say seven, but that'd be fun. But I think we might see Verlander before it's done. So.
Oh, yeah, we're going to see Verlander again. But, again, I was all on. I thought he'd go out and take care of business, and that's why I took the Tigers in five or whatever it was I said. And it could still happen the way if you roll the Yankees in four, you can probably roll anybody in four. But the Giants continue that roll. Now an important game two tonight, 7:05 out in San Francisco.
This just explains the difference between a team with rest and a team that's just hot at that time. The Colorado Rockies were in a World Series in the last 5 years. Were they the best team in Major League Baseball? No. Were they the best top two, top three? Probably not. But were they the hottest team at the right time? Yes. And that's what the San Francisco Giants are right now. This is a team that, whether it's the Panda, whether it's Lincecum as a reliever, I mean, that's something where, I mean, I was kind of joking with somebody last night watching this game. I'm like, it's always good when you have another starting pitcher, a Cy Young backing up a Cy Young. I mean, it's a situation in San Francisco right now where they really can't do anything wrong. And when your bats can rap out eight runs in a game that Verlander starts, I think the sky's the limit for this team.
Well, and Detroit didn't get things going against the curveball, the hook of a Barry Zito. That's where I thought it would come yesterday. And I'm not buying into the too much time off. I'm not buying into that. No, I don't. Not from Detroit. I can understand the role for San Francisco, but I don't buy into that just because they had a couple extra days off, Detroit wasn't crisp. I mean, they've played 180 games this season. Come on, people. This isn't the first game of the season. But game two is tonight, and you can check out our poll question, see how things worked out. That was our poll question yesterday. Who do you think is going to win the World Series? And the final tally on that, 79% took Detroit. That means a lot of people didn't get on late last night and vote. 21% said San Francisco. So there you go, ESPN, superstation.com. What's your college football game of the week? Texas Tech, Kansas State, Florida, Georgia, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Mississippi State, Alabama.
Notre Dame, Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that one as well. Notre Dame, Oklahoma, although Kansas State every week now is going to be on upset alert. I'm going to go with that. And, of course, then you've got everything in the Big Ten. There's some good games. Michigan State, Wisconsin, and then, of course, Nebraska, even Northwestern playing Iowa. There's some interesting games out there. Vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. And don't forget, you can find out more information on how to get signed up for our Super Bowl party and 70-inch HD TV giveaway from Cunningham's and Russell's Appliance at the end of the year. You can sign up at our Husker Lunches on Wednesday at Cunningham's. If you go against us in Pigskin, pick them on Friday, you get the entry forms. You can find out a whole lot more about how to get entered at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Kansas State is a team that bothers me. I don't know if anybody else is out there, but I actually, now, when we go out and do our TV interviews, Doug, we obviously get what the coaches say on camera, but then you get what the coaches get to say off camera, and that's sometimes some of the best stuff you get from these guys. I'm not going to say too much about what Tony Harper had to say about this Kansas State deal, the Hastings College head football coach, for those out there. He's just as shocked as I am. I asked him, I'm like, you're a coach. How do you explain what Bill Snyder is doing in Manhattan, Kansas right now? And he couldn't. He said those players, the only thing he knew through all of his coaching circles that he has is that these players will take a bullet for this guy. I mean, these players are playing for Bill Snyder. They're going to go out there, and if he says run through this river, they'll do it. And that's half of college football right there, is getting your guys max capacity.
But how do you do that? No one has mastered it. No one, even Coach Krzyzewski, you can all have your motivational speeches. You can recruit the right guys. And let's face it, Coach Snyder's doing it with some JUCOs. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason you're a JUCO to begin with. We don't have to get into this, but it's obvious. These kids either don't get the grades or they've been in trouble. And he's bringing them into Manhattan, Kansas, where you shouldn't be able to get into a lot of trouble, but you have to find your own thing to do.
Right.
And in short amount of time, he gets them to do that. And there are coaches out there like that. And I think every coach, to a certain extent, has players that do that for him, but not every program. And, of course, when you're winning, and if you lose a couple, it's just, we'll see. K-State, man. But still, no one's giving them any respect. No one would pick K-State to hang with Oregon or Alabama right now.
That's my question. They have maybe two, in my opinion, games where they might lose. One's this weekend with Texas Tech, another team that made West Virginia look like the children of the blind. Now, if they get past Texas Tech, they just have Texas, who, do I need to remind you, lost Oklahoma, yeah, like 70,000 to 10? So
they'll beat Texas.
That's my point. There's no Big 12 championship game anymore, folks. So if Kansas State runs the table and they go undefeated, do you put them up against Alabama? Are they really better than Oregon if Oregon goes undefeated? I mean, what do you do there?
Let's throw this out. I'm going to say that Florida is not in the equation. They get beat somewhere, and let's say Alabama, well, whatever you want to say.
Somebody from the SEC.
One of the three, Alabama, Oregon, Florida, they're in the championship game.
Right.
But the other two aren't. Undefeated K-State, undefeated Notre Dame. Which one?
Talk to me in a week. Notre Dame's playing Oklahoma today. This week. And that's going to be a big barometer for Notre Dame. If they can go and knock off Oklahoma, and we'll see how it compares to what Kansas State was able to do. I mean, they're both going to Norman. It's two games, same place, same team. I think that's going to be the barometer between those two teams.
I've got to ask you something on the air that's just not going to sound right.
Okay.
But all this Notre Dame and Mane Teau, their linebacker, okay?
Uh-huh.
Great player. And he's getting all kinds of pub. And he's a great guy. But is he getting pub for being a player and a Heisman Trophy candidate on the field? Or is he getting pub because of the unfortunate circumstances surrounding his family and what has happened in Hawaii and the loss of family members and things like this? Again, I'm uncomfortable even saying that.
Right.
But it seems to me that the media is now taking this, they're sensationalizing it like they do.
Shocker.
And it's like we're hearing this same story every week, and it's like he is a better football player because that's vote for him for the Heisman because this happened to him.
So,
which I find unfair to other college football players.
Does that
make sense?
That does. It's kind of like voting the geek homecoming king. You know, it's like, hey, it's a great story. Let's not win.
It was close.
Duda got second. Everybody, you know, needed a couple more votes. But he's a great player. He's a game changer. And that's what you look for with the Heisman Trophy. And Ndamukong Suh was invited to New York. So they're looking outside the box now. They're looking at linebackers. They're looking at defensive tackles. Obviously, Charles Woodson winning the thing. And obviously, for the most part, it's a quarterback. It's a running back. Andrew Luck, RG3, whatever. But you look for that sensational defensive player. Last year, Tyrann Mathieu. You see where he's at now. But, I mean, it's one of those deals where you look for guys that make the biggest difference on their team. In the end, your team's got to be pretty much playing for a national championship or
anymore,
in a BCS
which
bowl.
Which is unfortunate.
To get this trophy. So, if Notre Dame loses this week, he's probably out of the running. Then all that is out of the, I guess, gunning, so to speak, and that conversation's over. But does the story add to it? Yeah. Does it give him probably a little unfair disadvantage against, you know, maybe, throw your favorite name out there right now? I mean, shoot, even some people are saying Denard Robinson now again. And, I mean, it's just one of those things where when it comes down to it, talk to me with 2 weeks to come in the season.
Yeah.
There's going to be about two or three guys.
We have just under half the season to go.
Yeah.
And you brought up the Kansas State. I still find it hard that Colin Klein could actually be
He's number one right now.
Not on this guy's ballot, but he's still got some work to do. They're winning, but his numbers don't do it for me just yet. And again, let's see what happens as we play the string out. Your thoughts, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. That's the phone number to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coming up in our next segment, Lance Creech, the Hastings College men's basketball coach, Luke Hoover from RotoWire at the end of the show to answer your fantasy football questions. So email or Facebook those in. Rex Burkhead, he's just the man. Unfortunately, he's getting most of his notoriety off the field this year instead of on the field. He still hasn't practiced this week. Will he practice? We don't know. But yesterday, he was named one of 15 recipients of the National Football Foundation's National Scholar Athlete Award. The prestigious award gives him an $18,000 postgraduate scholarship. And now one of the 15 will get a $25,000 scholarship. The awards banquet is December 4th in New York City. So he'll get to dress up, put on a bow tie and a tux, and go hang out and have a good meal at the Waldorf Astoria. He's the 21st Husker to be honored, but the first since Chris Kelsey in 2002, which is a little unusual.
Hey, good for Burkhead. I mean, it's a situation right now for him. He's not going to be slapping on the bow tie for much else. He hasn't played enough this season. And when he has, he's played great, but he's just not enough time for him to get any of those other postseason awards.
Your thoughts on Nebraska-Michigan? Burkhead doesn't play. Can somebody besides Denard Robinson? Steve Sipple made a great point yesterday. However that game went last year, Robinson only had 84 yards on the ground against the Huskers. Yeah. A lot of that, he says, was probably because Levante David was doing a good job of tripping him up when he was scrambling around.
And Denard Robinson, it's kind of that Braxton Miller thing. If you keep him in the pocket, I think make the guy throw. And Nebraska in the first quarter against Ohio State, against Braxton Miller, what'd they have? 15 yards, 20-some yards at the end of the first quarter. I think Ohio State had three and outs, maybe one first down. Then all of a sudden, Braxton Miller gets out of the pocket. He gets a seam. He's running. I mean, I don't know what the final rushing stats were for Miller in that game, but I'm
career high is 181 or 6 or something like that.
He broke loose. And if Nebraska can control Denard Robinson, make him throw. That's all I got to say. Alabama made him throw. Notre Dame made him throw. And those were two losses. And the games that Denard has been able to break loose, has been able to get into the open field, obviously they're 5 wins. So 2-5-2 teams here. Does it all hinge on Denard Robinson? No. He has other guys. He throws it to people.
Yeah, look for Devin Gardner. He's starting to make a little impact at the wide receiver position. Not gaudy numbers, but he's got 4 touchdowns, 251 receiving yards. So that's a name you want to keep in mind. Tomorrow, Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press will join us on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll get to Triple Header with Mark. He's been on numerous times. And not only will we get to talk Nebraska-Michigan, but we can ask him about the Lions and Ndamukong Suh and, of course, talk about the Tigers after the first two games of the World Series. Before we go to break, one last thought here, just kind of going through a bunch of topics in our first segment. Is it because he came to Nebraska that I'm a little jaded on this? And Ndamukong Suh isn't even close to the most hated football player in the NFL, in my opinion.
Right.
How is he the most – because of the stomp? Is it simply because of the stomp? And Green Bay Packer Nation would be like if you dissed Nebraska, they would come hard on any vote on the internet. But I find it hard, shocking, that Ndamukong Suh is the most disliked player in the NFL.
Ndamukong Suh plays physical football. Jay Cutler even said in that post game, he was like, you know what? It's football. That was a hard hit. It was a clean hit. Was it gruesome? Yeah. Sue's a pretty big fellow. When he gets his hand on you, he's going to tackle you. I mean, he's not going to just lay you down to sleep. He's going to throw you to the ground. It's football, people. I know we're in this era of football now where don't touch the quarterback. We're going to throw a flag. We're going to fine you $20,000 if you poke him in the eye. These guys are playing football. They're getting paid millions. I repeat, millions. And what's the highest paid position on a football team normally? The quarterback. So these guys are going to be fine if they maybe miss a year because he got thrown down too hard. It's football. I don't like the way the game's trending right now. They're giving these guys pillows as helmets now. I mean, it's a situation where Sue is just in the wrong era in the wrong time. You put Sue in the 1970s, 80s, even the 90s in the NFL, he's a guy that's going to be winning trophy after trophy, Pro Bowl after Pro Bowl. And I mean, don't get me wrong, Sue's probably still going to be going to Pro Bowl after Pro Bowl, but he's now just one of those guys that he's hitting people too hard. And if that was a possibility in the NFL, I would have been shocked, and sadly, right now it is.
Spencer, you know what's going to happen. Next thing they're going to do, they're going to soften it up even more. They're going to bring out recliners for these quarterbacks, and probably they'll get them at Bruce Furniture, Kearney Hastings, Holders, and Alliance.
I like it.
You know, Mike and the gang probably just load up the truck just as if they were coming to your home and take them on out to the NFL so that they can lightly place these quarterbacks in comfort from Lane, Lazy Boy, or any. Maybe even just get some Serta mattresses out there and just cover the field with them so that when they go down, they are comfortable, just like you can be, and all customers have been the last 34 years at Bruce Furniture. They have grown to 4 locations, compete with the big chains in quantity buying and freight charges, so you'll always get the low price. And Bruce Furniture makes sure that they maintain their small-town, family-owned business attitude of taking care of each customer individually. Wintertime means inside more than summertime. You want to be in comfort. You want to watch your favorite television programs, your sporting events, your movies. Maybe just sit back and enjoy a book in front of the fire. Make sure you do it in comfort at Bruce Furniture, Kearney Hastings, Holdridge and Alliance, Lance Creech, head men's basketball coach at Hastings College when we come back.
Hi, it's the Herd. I love business, and I believe to be successful in business, you need to be able to meet with your team regularly. I do. Whenever you need to, wherever you are. Discuss plans, share ideas, bring them to life. But with clients and colleagues working from different offices or on the go, meeting face-to-face often impossible. That is, unless you use GoToMeeting with HD Faces, and I have. The powerful way to meet and collaborate with your team online. This is how business works effectively. With GoToMeeting with HD Faces, it gives your team the ability to share screen time, making it easier to be on the same page. And when you meet face-to-face, you're more likely to see eye-to-eye. So easy to join, so easy to launch from anywhere. Try GoToMeeting free for a month, 30 days. Don't wait. Special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code Colin. Be sure to use the promo code Colin. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing.
Are you looking for affordable, high-speed internet? Then Arcom has the service you're looking for. Whether you're in town or rural, Arcom can offer you high-speed internet for only $25 a month. That's right, just $25 a month. Get all your online needs met before the Christmas rush. Don't wait. Call today, 308-237-7266. That's Arcom for just $25 a month. Call today and get free installation. Arcom, 308-237-7266. Call now.
Saturday on Compass Media Network's coverage of NCAA football, it's one of the Big Ten's fiercest rivalries renewed as Michigan State takes on Wisconsin. Hi, I'm Drew Bonadelli. Join Tony Hill and me for all the action as Le'Veon Bell and the Spartans invade Camp Randall to take on Monte Ball and the Badgers. Wisconsin, Michigan State. If it's NCAA football, it's right here.
Michigan State, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Saturday at 2:30 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Listen for the Platte River Prep Scoreboard Show after the Thursday high school football playoff games on Classic Hits, 98.9 FM. Football playoff coverage is presented in part by T&L Irrigation Systems, proven technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime. The all-new Hastings Lincoln Ford, where the difference is black and white. Dunham Sports, where all their big-name brands bring you in and the low prices bring you back.
Some flurries and snow showers linger early on today, followed by some clearing possible later today in the afternoon. With a high of 43, northwest winds will stay at about 15 to 30. Tonight, we'll head back to 22. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 34.
Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Doug Duda, Spencer Schubert with you on this Thursday. And we are pleased to welcome into the program the head men's basketball coach at Hastings College, Lance Creech. And Coach, thanks so much for the time. How are we doing today?
Doing well, guys. How are you?
Well, you know, we're talking football, and you guys always start basketball like in your first game should have happened by now, usually. So we always chuckle about that. But preparing for the season, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But obviously, the big news came out earlier this week that you're ready to make that next transition in your life, personal and professional, and that's stepping down at the end of the year. I got to ask you, when does this pop into your head? I know there's some changes that have been going on throughout the college over there with administration, and some coaches have been there quite a while. What popped this into your head? What made the decision finally come about?
Well, you know, a couple of years ago after we got back from the national tournament, you know, I remember thinking that, not that, you know, we had accomplished, you know, anything in regard to a national title or anything, but it started to kind of creep around then. That's when my boys were really starting to be a little bit more active, and my youngest son plays baseball here in town, but he's on a little travel team. And, you know, it started to be a real conflict of interest in regard to how much time do I spend at home, how much time do I got to continue to spend out on the road recruiting. And you know, the landscape has just changed so much in regard to recruiting and small college basketball. You know, when I first started, you spent most of your time during your own season getting out and watching high school games. And I think the biggest change is just the influence of so many AAU, you know, tournaments, you know, it used to be Mr. Basketball was kind of your biggest event around here in the summer, and that's what you did, and you went over there for a few days and watched that. But you could literally be on the road every single weekend of the summer. And, you know, it just got to a point where, you know, it was really starting to, I don't want to say affect my family life, because it was never an issue in regard to that. It was just more of a personal philosophy of, you know, I miss a lot of my kids' events throughout the fall and the winter, obviously, and the spring. And the summer was really becoming the only time where I could really be at home and, you know, enjoy my kids and hang out with my wife and spend time with friends and all those kinds of things. And that time just gets, you know, a little bit more valuable the every day you get older. So I kind of started, it kind of started muddling around in my head, you know, back then. And then probably last year, probably the last 8 to 10 months is when it really started becoming a concern for me individually. And I've been giving a lot of thought and talked to my wife quite a bit. And when Coach Smutty came aboard, I developed a really quick and a very good bond with him. And, you know, we had talked, and he told me that he remembered, you know, turning, I'm now 41 years old, and when I started, you know, as a head coach at the collegiate level, I had just turned 28, you know. So a lot has transpired in my lifetime at that, you know, in those years. And, you know, he told me he remembers when he had turned that 40, that kind of benchmark age, is when he started really wondering, is this what I want to do the rest of my life? Is this where my priorities are? Obviously, he went ahead and plugged through and had many more years of success, but he said it was really at that point in his life and when he really started to reevaluate his position and with his family and his position in his career.
Coach, by no means is 40, 41 old. You're going to have that itch, whether you want it or not. You've been in this sport long enough. I know you well enough to know you are a student of the game even to this day. You just love learning more and more about this game and about this sport. What do you think it's going to be like 1 year from now, 2 years from now, when you do get that break and you are seeing Hastings College scores come across on ESPN Superstation or NTV, and you're just, you kind of have that itch? What do you think that's going to be like?
Well, I don't know so much it would be the college game, because, you know, I've had the opportunity to coach now. This is my 13th year as a head coach at the collegiate level. It's my, it's my 14th year total, because I was an assistant here for Coach Trader for 3 prior to becoming a head coach. So I don't know, you know, I've done this part of it. I've lived this part of it. You know, my sons are both pretty active in basketball, and I'm actually coaching my older boys' 7th grade team. We play in a league over at Grand Island Central Catholic on Sunday afternoons. And so, quite honestly, and this is no disrespect to anybody that coaches, coaching's coaching, and I don't care if you're coaching 7th grade boys or you're coaching, you know, University of Duke or University of Nebraska, wherever it may be. Obviously, the paychecks are a little bit different, but at the same time, you know, the passion and the desire just to teach the game and to help my sons and hit their buddies and help, you know, the youth sports, that's the part of it that I'm kind of getting into and kind of enjoying. And it was about, you know, probably a month ago in which maybe 3 weeks ago, in which Coach Smutty and I had started talking about, you know, my future. And it was about a few days after that that I was driving home from one of our first practices with my boys' 7th grade team, and we dropped a couple of his buddies off, and, you know, he just looked at me and he said, "Dad, that's the most fun I've ever had playing basketball." And at that time, I knew that was it. You know, I was done, and, you know, I went in the next day and talked to Coach, and we started kind of putting a blueprint together on how, what was the best way for me, what was the best way, you know, to leave the institution and the basketball program, and we just felt to step down now was probably the best opportunity for me, the best opportunity for our program in the future. There's 3 seniors that obviously are impacted more by this decision, just because, well, it's all of us, I guess, you know, that are this is our last year as Hastings College basketball program together, and so, you know, we're trying to do what's best for those seniors to make sure they go out on a positive note. But at the same time, you know, there's going to be a good nucleus of talent here left for the successor, whoever that may be. And, you know, recruiting is the number one priority for the new coach. And I know this gives the college ample time to put somebody in place so at the conclusion of this season they can make that hire and he can hit the ground running with his recruiting.
Lance Creech, head men's basketball coach at Hastings College, is joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda along with Spencer Schubert on this Thursday program. The Hastings men get their season underway here. They're on the practice floor, of course, right now, getting ready for the upcoming season. Let's go to the Dead Popper inbox, Lance. I got to tell you, I don't know what the networking is like over there in Hastings, and I don't know where things are going here, but very rarely do we get the same email from three different people. And this comes from Scott, Zach, and Kevin. They say, Lance, Christian and Connor are doing so well. Leave them in our hands.
I'm not sure who that is either. But
let's see. We got Kevin Asher. We got Scott Rosner. We got Zach Foster. I don't know what's going on over there, but I know those kids will be in good hands. Let's get this out of the way, too, because just the way news falls, I would have thought, Tobin goes down, you said, yep, time to get out. And, of course, Concordia has made a change as well, and I know that you had been close to Grant Schmidt. Start there, kind of dispel any rumors about, or maybe say, yeah, something is going on there. Could you address those two things?
In regard to me going to Concordia?
Yeah.
Oh, God, no. No, I'm no. No, heavens, no. I'm not going to jump out of one fire into another. I know that. Boys, I'm dumb. I'm not stupid. But, no, that, you know, over there at Concordia, that's a very, very unfortunate situation. And I know I have not had an opportunity at this point to talk to Coach Schmidt. And my thought there is a little bit frustration because you talk about one person putting an institution on the map. It was Grant Schmidt. I mean, that guy's won 450 games at the collegiate level, played for a national title about 7-8 years ago. One of the guys that was probably the most respected in our league as far as they got. You talk about stretching talent, and you look at where they played for so many years in regard to everybody else in this conference ramping up their facilities and trying to stay ahead of one another, and they've just finally got a collegiate-style gym about 2 years ago. So the fact that, you know, he's no longer with that institution is in my opinion, heartbreaking because he was synonymous with the name Concordia University and Bulldog basketball, and he's, you know, you talk about a great coach. I mean, they don't get much better than Grant Schmidt. So, A, no, I am not looking at Concordia. B, very unfortunate event. And lastly, in regard to Tobin, as bad of a blow as that was, that had nothing to do with my decision. Obviously we would love to have that guy because not only do you lose your leading scorer, leading rebounder, but he led the entire country in three-point percentage a year ago, and he was just the one guy where you shot clock running down, end of the half, end of a game. You know, you just throw it to him and say, okay, Tobin, make us all look smart, and he could go out and get you a bucket. And so that's been one, you know, adjustment, but I guess if there is a time to lose a player of his magnitude, it would be with 30 days to prepare, you know, 30 days prior to your season opening. So if there was a silver lining in that very dark cloud for our basketball team, it was the fact that Tobin got hurt at the time that he did, and we've had an opportunity to make adjustments with our team.
Coach, you touched on some of it. I mean, you're going to be trying to replace 17.4 points a game, 5.8 rebounds a game. Tobin, it's not too hard to notice the impact he made on this team. What are some of the names? What are some of the guys that you know are going to step up in these 30 days of preparation? What have you seen in practice? What have you seen? How have these guys reacted?
Well, you know, the first thing that we did is we held a team meeting and we said, look, you know, we don't need one guy to go out and get 17 points a game. You know, we need two or three guys to make two or three extra baskets a game and get an extra rebound a game and get to the foul line a couple more times a game. It's not a situation where you can just say, okay, Dane Bacon, here you go. Here's Tobin's shots, because they're just such different players. And, you know, so many times people ask me, well, who do you got to replace them? Well, how many teams can replace the best player? You know, I mean, it's just one of those scenarios where you just don't have a second Tobin Reinwald, or you'd have him starting already, you know. So that was the first thing that we made sure our team identified, is we've just got to be a better team now, you know. And what it did for us is it probably brought us a little bit closer together. I think it brought our focus a little bit more to the immediate mindset. It wasn't a deal where we could sit around and say, we're going to come up with a plan. We just had it to be, we have to become a better team, and we have to value the basketball. It really quickly erased any margin for error that this team had because, you know, again, when you've got a player that can just go out and create opportunities for himself and his teammates just with his athletic ability, you know, you don't have that luxury anymore. So we've got to be better with the ball. We've got to be better in our screening. We've got to be better in our cutting. We've got to be better defensively. So, you know, the thing that I've been kind of, we as a team have been struggling the last couple of years with just maturity and experience. You know, we started it about half of our games last year. We started four sophomores and a junior a year ago. You know, now those kids are just juniors and seniors. So now, you know, hopefully that toughness, that maturity that we've been trying to develop within our program and trying to change our culture a little bit is basically high school kids coming in playing college basketball. I'm hoping to see some more of that come to the forefront. And we've had an opportunity to have alumni scrimmage and one junior college. We actually head out tomorrow. We're heading out to McCook Junior College, and we'll play Chadron State, McCook, and Western Nebraska in a scrimmage format. So tomorrow's probably our biggest test of this young season, and just kind of see, you know, a little bit more what combinations we can put on the floor, who we can play with who, and who looks good at this time.
Lance Creech with us for just another minute. A couple quick questions for you, Lance, before we let you roll on out of here. Do you consider this a young team, even before Tobin went out? Do you consider this a young Bronco team?
No, I don't. You know, and I think that's the thing. We have been a young team, and we can't hang any excuses on that hat rack anymore. You know, we've kind of played that card. We've got to get through, and we've just got to make sure that, you know, we'll probably start four or three juniors or two juniors, two seniors, and a sophomore, you know, if we were to play tomorrow, you know, and we're going to come off the bench. We've only got one freshman at this point on our roster. Carson Bloom from over at Minden's just done an exceptional job for us. But, you know, we're a very upperclassman. We started the season with 11 juniors in our program, you know, and we're going to probably have six or seven of those kids on our varsity roster come November 2nd. So, no, by no means are we inexperienced. Are we young? Are we any of those things? And we can't put much stock into youth anymore because we've been trying to teach these kids our system and our program for a couple years now. And that's our hope is once we throw that ball up in the air on November 2nd, we're going to be ready to go.
Yeah, and talk about next Friday. Am I reading the schedule right? You're going to play Missouri Valley twice, including at the Doan Classic in Tabor. I mean, is that what I'm looking at here?
Yeah, that's right. 7 days apart. You know, that's just great scheduling. You know, we won't have to do much in regard to a scouting report because if we can't think 7 days in our past, then we've got a lot worse problems.
All right, buddy. We'll let you get back to work. A very successful final season, at least at Hastings College, for you. And do we need to hold open the permanent co-hosting chair over here until the season's over, or what are we doing?
I don't know what I would do with that kind of salary. I'm not used to making that kind of money.
Good
so
answer.
Go ahead and let some college kid earn that big buck.
Lance, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk again soon.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Lance Creech joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug due to Spencer Schubert. Always like working with Coach Creech. And that's always I know a lot of sports teams, college teams can be this way. But, boy, I never can get a handle on what they're doing over there as far as they come out of nowhere, or then they trip up a little bit, or they go on a 15-game winning streak, they make the national tournament, they get a kid hurt. I mean, there's always something going on.
It's always fun. I interview Coach Creech usually once a week once season starts swinging through, and 1 week he'll be the happiest guy, the happiest coach out there. The next week he'll be like, I'm firing all of them. I'm getting a new team, you know. So, you know, Coach Creech, he ebbs and flows with his team. He loves his guys, though, and I think this is going to be a pretty fun year for him, win or lose on the basketball court. Obviously, losing a guy like Tobin Reinwald is going to make a big impact on that win-loss column. I think, you know, from what it's looking like, the team's picked in the middle of the GPAC, a team that's still going to be competitive. You know, you lose a guy like Tobin Reinwald, you still have plenty of guys you mentioned, like he did, Dane Bacon, and I mean, you go down that lineup, and it's just a team that has some pretty solid guys, Brady Lohman, for example, guys that are still going to put the ball in the hoop, and, you know, I think he's going to have fun with it. I think it's going to be a little less stressful for him. I think he's going to just more enjoy his final year here.
That's Dane. I am the most talented one in my family, Bacon. Let's take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Get your fantasy football questions in for Luke Hoover of RotoWire. He'll join us momentarily. And if you're getting ready to head out to lunch, you can always chat fantasy football, watch the World Series, watch tonight's NFL game between the Buccaneers and the Vikings. Maybe just go in after your high school football playoff game, the Chicken Coop. Grand Island in Kearney is the place to be. Maybe you want to slide in and get all warmed up, get a good meal in you, because they have those great home-style daily lunch specials. And on this Thursday, it's a poor boy's shrimp sandwich, your choice of side item. It's only $5.99. Of course, you've got the full menu to choose from. There's steaks on there. There's fish on there. There's pizzas. There's burgers. There's the traditional good old sports bar food as well. Check them out at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. We're back after this.
Come into the Home Depot and discover the new exclusive line of Husky hand tools. They're improved, affordable, and guaranteed forever. Start with a three-piece plier and wrench set for the new lower price of just $9.88. Add a few new tools to your workbench, even though your workbench may wear out long before these new improved Husky hand tools do. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Hi, football fans. I think you'll agree that you've got to have great seats. And now it's even easier to pick the seats you want wherever you are thanks to StubHub's new mobile seat maps. They're the only interactive seat maps that let you search for NFL tickets by section and actually see the view from your seat, all from your mobile phone. How cool is that? So whether you're searching StubHub on your computer or your phone, it's easy to find the seats you want. Yet another reason thousands of fans use StubHub for their NFL tickets every Sunday.
Here's a couple things you might not know about Jerseys in Kearney. They offer lunch under $6 every day, and there's something going on every night of the week. Like on Mondays, 45-cent wings. Tuesdays, happy day. That's happy hour all day long. There's a late-night happy hour Monday through Thursday from 9 until 11 p.m., not to mention free Wi-Fi, Keno and trickle cards. There's something every day for everyone at Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. Located in the Vista Point Shopping Center, Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Some flurries and snow showers linger early on today, followed by some clearing possible later today in the afternoon. With a high of 43, northwest winds will stay at about 15 to 30. Tonight, we'll head back to 22. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 34.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Luke Hoover is going to join us momentarily from RotoWire, so get your fantasy football questions in as they continue to roll in on this Thursday. Facebook us, email us, we're there for you. Trent says, Coach Creech is a great guy. I believe I was about 12 and wanted to attend his basketball camp, but I was having trouble coming up with the camp entry, so he let me go for like 10% of the cost. He didn't have to do that. Big thank you to him. Yeah, some things that happen behind the scenes.
Absolutely. And Creech is just one of those guys, you know. He's a guy that you could be the biggest wig journalist guy. He'll treat you the same way as he treated me, the poor NTV guy, when I first showed up. He's just a guy that's genuine, and that's a pretty cool story.
Well, let's move on to our Thursday edition of Luke Hoover and RotoWire as he's knocking about Lucas. Eli Manning, he had a good day, but, you know, he was our number one quarterback pick. Was that an okay pick in hindsight now?
Well, no, he didn't get the scores he kind of would expect against the Washington defense. It's, you know, to that point allowed 15 on the year already. They're giving up 2.5 a game, but Manning only got the one late score to the Cruz, so a bit of a disappointment. He had the yards were there. They just couldn't get into the end zone. Obviously, some guy named Aaron Rodgers is looking like he's back on top right there with Drew Brees. Yeah. Kind of hard to say, you know, any given week that they're not the number one quarterback.
No doubt about it. It's obviously it'll be another tough week for Eli taking on that vaunted Dallas Cowboy team at Texas Stadium. But the rave reviews are coming in for Luke, so I had to rib him there just a little bit. We'll get his big time players and guys to sit at the end of the segment. But let's get to your questions, folks. We start with John, who says, "Who is the best quarterback to have for the remainder of the season? Matt Ryan or Ben Roethlisberger? I'd like to keep one and trade the other for a different running back."
I would still lean towards Ryan. He's got a pretty favorable schedule in the division in the NFC South. They they still have yet to play New Orleans, and that's going to provide some good opportunities for him. Big Ben, they both have good weapons, but Julio Jones and Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez. That three right there, probably the best in the league as far as top two receivers and tight end option.
Jason wants to know, he needs to sit one of these receivers. You tell him which: Vincent Jackson, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, or Josh Gordon?
Oh, of that group, you'd have to sit Gordon. I mean, he's been on a great tear, but, if he's not scoring touchdowns, he's not getting a huge number of yards. And Antonio Brown, in a lot of weeks, would be the guy to say that in that group. But he's got a great Washington matchup, so I'd play Brown.
Talking with Luke Hoover of RotoWire, you've got time to send in your fantasy football questions. Email us, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, this has some of the same people in it. Mark says, "I have a PPR league, and I need to start three. Decker, Brandon Lloyd, Randall Cobb, DeSean Jackson, Josh Gordon." He says, "I don't like Lloyd and D-Jax, and I'm beginning to think I need Cobb in my lineup every week." So, again, that's Decker, Brandon Lloyd, Randall Cobb, DeSean Jackson, Josh Gordon. He needs three in a PPR.
Well, definitely Decker and Cobb. Decker's matchup is just too strong with New Orleans at home, you know, giving up a ton of yards and Peyton Manning playing lights out. Cobb has been on a huge tear, and I'm actually starting him in two PPR leagues this week as well, including one in which I'm playing him over Lloyd. I don't like Lloyd's matchup. He hasn't had great chemistry with Brady so far this year, just one touchdown on the year, and it's possible he'll draw Cortland Finnegan, who has literally blanked several receivers this season. So for that third spot, I'd actually go with Gordon. You know, I said he probably needs to score, but he's got 4-3 games, and he's a tremendous deep threat for Whedon. Whedon's going to start looking his way, I think, more often as weeks roll along here.
Luke, pick two of these running backs: Darren McFadden, Adrian Peterson, Ryan Matthews. Which two of those do you start?
Oh, you can't bench AP any week, regardless of the defense. He's just too good. He's finally looking like he's 100% off the ACL injury last year. McFadden's been struggling. He's got a nice matchup with Kansas City. But don't forget that Cleveland gave up that 200-yard game to Ahmad Bradshaw a couple weeks ago. Cleveland leads the AFC with 10 interceptions so far, and Rivers has been throwing a lot, as we saw recently. So I like Matthews to get the ball for him, and I'd go with Matthews and AP.
Let's go to Andy in Kearney. Here is his fantasy football question for the week. It's a non-PPR league. He goes, "Because of bye weeks, I'm needing to reach a little bit for a flex spot. He's got Steven Jackson starting as a running back, and his choices for flex are Kendall Hunter, Brandon Lavelle, and Daryl Richardson. And he says, should I forgo any of those and maybe pick up Titus Young or Daniel Thomas, who's available?"
I feel comfortable playing Richardson. He's worked into a pretty tight timeshare, and I know that means you're playing both backs in that Rams offense, but they should get plenty of work. Even in the passing game, they've both been doing pretty well receiving the ball out of the backfield. Richardson should be good for about 60, 70 total yards. You know, it's not a lot, but you know, in a pinch, it's a decent flex start.
Terrence from Kearney wants to know, who does he start? First, a two-part question here. Running back, he wants to know, do you go with Ridley or Doug Martin?
You know what? I've had that same dilemma this week, and I've been back and forth. Right now, I have Martin in my lineup, and I probably will leave him in there. It's getting harder and harder to trust how much Ridley will get the ball. They started Shane Vereen last week, and it's Minnesota's. They're both tough matchups. But Minnesota just allowed almost 150 yards to LaRod Stevens Howling, and the Rams have been playing really tough against the run. I like Martin a little bit more than Ridley.
And the second part, go to tight end. Do you take Jimmy Graham or Aaron Hernandez? Kind of a health question.
Jeez,
there.
How does he get both of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually the better question. How do you wind up with both those guys? But it is a really, really tough call. I think what it comes down to is you kind of have to play Hernandez if Graham ends up a game-time decision. If they announce, you know, earlier in the week, Friday or Saturday, he's going to start, he's healthy enough to play, then I'd feel pretty comfortable with him against a Denver defense in a game that could be a shootout. But Hernandez, we know, is playing, and it's an earlier game with the New Orleans being the Sunday night game. So if Graham's game-time decision, you have to play Hernandez just to cover yourself.
Nate in Minden goes to the quarterback, Jay Cutler, Cam Newton.
Neither are great options because, Cutler's not throwing it a ton. He took that hard hit last week, and he looks like he's going to play. He came back in the game, and he did okay, but not a lot of yardage numbers. Carolina's D is not as strong as Chicago's. It has to be Cutler. Cam is in for a rough week, I think.
Another quarterback one. This kind of baffles me. The ESPN projections. Here you go. Ben Roethlisberger projected for 30. Tom Brady, 20. Who do you take?
Well, the Rams' pass defense has been strong, and as bad as Washington's has been, I can understand the projection a little bit. That's a pretty big discrepancy, though. It's so hard to bench him, I'd still probably play Brady.
Let's go to Orion, who says, I need two running backs, Jamal Charles, Chris Johnson, Willis McGahee, Rashad Jennings, Michael Bush.
There's just two running backs?
Yeah, he needs two.
Two? It's got to be Chris Johnson and Jamal Charles. McGahee's matchup is the best, but Oakland's not exactly great against the run. Indy's had their troubles letting Sean Green run all over them a couple weeks back, and Chris Johnson looks like he's fully returned, almost fully returned. Put a little asterisk on that. If he does have a big week, then we'll say he's back to CJ2K. I like both the upsides on those guys. And like I said earlier, that could become a shootout between New Orleans and Denver, in which case McGahee maybe doesn't get the yardage numbers he normally would.
Chris Johnson.
Is he really back? God. I mean, that's the question all the pundits are wondering. You're on the fantasy side of things. Is Chris Johnson going to be a back that you would say is top five again with his last couple performances, or is this just a fluke?
I wouldn't anoint him into the top five just yet, but he's closing in there. Buffalo's defense is giving up 6 yards a carry. Now, Johnson certainly helped, with that regard last week with those big numbers, but their defense is dreadful. There hasn't been a team in the last 10 years to allow 6 yards per carry for a season. It's probably going to come down a bit, but that's an unbelievable number. And I think the telling thing will be how he goes forward these next couple weeks. We'll really know if he's back. But he did run well on Pittsburgh. He ran really well in Houston. Those are two pretty tough defenses still. So it looks like he's heading in that direction.
Luke Hoover with us for just another couple of minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show, answering your fantasy football questions. Fire one off real quick, and we may still be able to get that in. Mark says, solve my running back in a PPR, Steven Jackson or Alex Green as my number two.
As a number two, I prefer Jackson. I think Green could have a nice week. I expect that game to be one of the bigger blowouts of the week. Jacksonville has, no offense at this point, and Green could get some good garbage numbers. But the Rams are going to have to throw it, and I can see Jackson adding 4 or 5 catches to the total if that's a PPR league. he's a slightly better play.
Well, it's that time to ask now. Of all the players we've talked about, or maybe not mentioned, who is the best of the best? Who do you play over anybody, any circumstance, anywhere?
At quarterback, I'm going to say this week Breeze over Rodgers, because Denver's going to put points up and force Breeze to throw it more than Rodgers will have to against Jacksonville. Running back, I'm really incredibly impressed with how Peterson's played this year, particularly coming off the injury. I know Tampa Bay's been tough against the run, but there are very few guys I'd bench him for with Arian Foster out this week. And at receiver, my top guy is going to be Victor Cruz. He's producing so consistently. I know he had a down week when they first played Dallas, but the targets were there. He had a couple bad drops, which he's corrected since, and I think he's going to want to make up for that poor performance, as well as Eli, and when they go down to Dallas and try to get the win.
Let's go to Jay and Kearney. Chris Givens or Jeremy Maclin?
Givens or Maclin? That's a tough call, because Givens has actually performed really well recent weeks. I just saw this stat yesterday that he's had four straight games with a catch of at least 50 yards and leads the league in that category of catches of that length. But Macklin's too much talent right there. He's a better player. Givens is a bit of a risk, so I'd play Maclin.
And who's the stud to sit this week?
The stud to sit? Well, he's hard to call a stud anymore, but at quarterback, I can't see how you play Matt Stafford. he's averaging over 40 pass attempts a game, but still has less than one touchdown a game. He's bringing a Seattle defense into town that's been absolutely amazing against the pass. They have one of the best secondaries. I think they might take out Calvin Johnson. I would say Calvin Johnson, but you really can't sit him. If he's on your team, you have to play him and just hope for the best.
God, that's so good, because I got Stafford and Johnson on the same team in a PPR league with Houston on a bye. Yeah.
I needed a
bigger
tough
Monday.
Yeah, well, see,
tough line this week.
And Luke, I got to bring up a fun, or maybe not so fun in my fact book, but I traded Drew Brees, of all people. I traded him. I talked to you a couple weeks ago when this trade went down, and I picked up AP and Matt Schaub, but that's because I had Matt Ryan. In retrospect, is that a good trade, you think?
Well, I mean, AP has to be a pretty good upgrade to the running back core. And Ryan struggled recently. I think, coming off the bye week, I think he's going to pick back up where he started at the beginning of the year. Julio Jones was dealing with that hand issue earlier in the season, and it seemed to slow him down a bit. And I think his best days are ahead of him, as far as I'm concerned, with Jones. And, Breeze is lights out right now, and they're throwing a ton.
It's making me feel bad.
The difference that AP makes up, I think, makes it about a fair trade.
Absolutely.
Pretty even up.
Well, one final question we got to ask is the waiver wire. We asked you who the best guys to play. They're not going to be on the waiver wire. We're asking you who to sit. If we're sitting him, he's not on the waiver wire. Who do you pick up right now? Who's the hot item on the waiver wire this week?
Well, I mean, Rashad Jennings is the given, because MJD's out for at least a few games. It's kind of cloudy with the extent of that injury. They said it's not a Liz Frank injury, so it's probably not going to be the whole season. But foot issues can really drag out, as we saw with Darren McFadden last year. They never really announced, hey, this is a Liz Frank injury, but they just kept saying, oh, he could be back this week, he could be back this week, and never showed. So Jennings could have that role to himself for the foreseeable future, and he's a good start most weeks, had 100 total yards and a touchdown last week. If he was unowned, I like the Rod Stevens howling as well. Had the first really big game for a running back against that Vikings defense. And obviously, his matchup, it gets a lot worse against the Niners this week, but he could be a decent flex in deeper leagues. And the name I added in a few leagues, and I don't even think it needs to be a deep league, but I really like his upside, is Ryan Broyles. He steps into Nate Burleson's role with Burleson breaking his leg this last week. And I think Broyles is an excellent option in that offense. While Calvin's drawing double coverage, Broyles is going to be sitting into the soft spots in zone coverage, or, beating guys out of the slot, playing the matchups. And I think Stafford's going to look to him really frequently this year.
Final thing, we'll let you get out of here, Luke. What about Philip Tanner at Dallas? With Murray supposedly down, and they're not even sure if Felix Jones is 100% healthy. Is this a guy, I mean, if you're going to pick, you want to pick a guy up you're going to play, not just sit on your bench, is this a guy you would do that with?
I wouldn't feel particularly comfortable with that. You know, guys like Stevens, Howling, and Jennings may have already been owned in your leagues, but those would certainly be the preferences. If Jones is actually out and Tanner's going to get the start, you can roll him out there. He's a starting running back. He's going to have opportunities. But he hasn't been overly impressive with the opportunities he's gotten so far. Was pretty limited against a relatively weak Carolina run defense last week, and the Giants defense has been stepping it up recently. I'd be down on him, but you could play him if he's starting.
Luke, thanks so much as always for the info. We'll do it again next Thursday after Halloween has passed us by. Hopefully not a fright night or a fright weekend for anybody. Thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good.
Take care. Luke Hoover, every Thursday on the Doug and Daddy Show from RotoWire. You can keep up with him all weekend, every day of the week for the very latest news. Luke actually has an article up there today previewing tonight's Tampa Bay-Minnesota game, what he thinks is going to happen in that from a fantasy standpoint. And all of our guests on the Doug and Daddy Show are taken care of by our friends at BK, Lexington, Cozad, North Platte, and two locations in Kearney, home of the Whopper, Kearney's favorite burger for more than 30 years. And get your Whopper today with some sweet potato fries. Perfect salty, sweet, savory addition to any sandwich at BK. And we're back to wrap things up right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Get in the zone.
Regular oil changes will help your engine last longer. And doing them yourself will help your money last longer, too. Come into AutoZone today and save when you buy a 5-quart jug of Castrol conventional motor oil with an STP oil filter for only $20.99. See store for restrictions and details. Our experts have all the tips you'll need to get it done right. Change your oil and save today with help from AutoZone. Parts are just part of what we do.
Get in the zone.
AutoZone.
Thank you for calling Discover Card.
Okay, your 5% cash back program is a total hole-in-one. You guys are putting on a clinic. What's the new category?
Yeah, we're hitting on all cylinders. And only Discover gives you 5% cash back everywhere you shop online. It's like a cash back grand slam.
Whoa, time out. 5% on online shopping?
Yep.
That's a game changer.
Bullseye. Everywhere you shop online.
That's right in my wheelhouse. Sign me up.
Only Discover gives you 5% cash back everywhere you shop online through December. Sign up for 5% at discover.com or call 1-800-DISCOVER. 5% cash back on up to $1,500 in purchases online.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Hey, this is Mike from HK Sports Bar and Grill, Hastings' hometown Husker headquarters. Whenever the Huskers play, you get our 24-ounce big cans of beer for just $2.50 all day, every game day. And with NFL Sunday Ticket and ESPN Game Day, you have a front row seat for every NFL and college game. So bring the family and join your fellow Husker fans and watch the Huskers on the biggest HD TV wall in town, HK Sports Bar and Grill. Remember, text HKVIP to 90210 for even better offers and bigger discounts.
The Kearney Family Y is taking team registration for adult indoor soccer and basketball leagues. The cost per team is $125, but register early and receive a team discount. Games begin in late October, so hurry and get your team registered. For more info on the YMCA Adult Sports League, call 308-237-9622 or visit kearneymca.org.
El Kearney YMCA está ofreciendo ligas de fútbol rápido y basketball para adultos. El costo es $125 por equipo. Para más información, llame a 308-237-9622.
I got my first real six string, bought it at the Five and Dime.
Five and Dime, that's what they used to call like a Walgreens or a Woolworth. That's what they used to call those convenience stores back in the day.
Remember Hinky Dinky? Didn't we have one of those bad boys in Kearney? See, I still got the old school memories.
They get good breakfast at Hinky Dinky.
Yeah, so
I don't think there are any of those around anymore.
Didn't they have like a, because they used to be where Sun Mart is now, but then they didn't they move something to where there's like a weird miniature golf course involved in or something?
I couldn't tell you because I'm not a Kearney lifer. But,
right.
I know some people I could contact, some great employees
some sources
back in the day at the Hinky Dinky. Did they always wear the funny hats? Did they have the paper hats they wore?
I think they had paper hats.
They should. They should bring that back. here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, a couple of more notes in the world of sports to get to, and we'll let you get out of here. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram is the place to be. Like everything in life, opportunities come and go, and at Midway, they grab every opportunity that knocks at their door and makes it available to you. That's why they started hassle-free pricing. That's why they've got the best website at thinkmidway.com. That's why they've got a Facebook page that gives you great deals every week, every day, better offers, maybe save a little money if you need some work done on your car or truck. That is why they take care of you better than anyone else at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. I'm serious. When you're at a stoplight or you're driving down the road and you know every car or vehicle has on the back where they're from, mm-hmm. says Midway, mm-hmm. and you pass them, just look and see. You know they're smiling. Mm-hmm. They are, folks. They're smiling. Even if it's a rough day, they're driving in a Midway. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. UNK wrestling team, number one in the nation, but not a unanimous selection to win the MIAA, although they were selected in this six-team lead over Central Oklahoma, who's always very good as well. So they're right around the corner from their blue-white scrimmage and getting the season underway. And we've got an email here. Off topic, it's not never off topic to talk Huskers, but delusional Husker fan.
There's a couple, right?
Delusional Husker fan has been pretty quiet, and that's what he says here. I've been really quiet so far this year, mostly because I have no clue what Husker team will be showing up. I was on board with Doug. We were going to lose three games this year, Ohio State, Michigan, and then one surprise loss, which turned out to be UCLA. But after watching the Northwestern game, I've come to the realization that we could possibly lose four or five games this year if we can't take care of the ball any better than we have been. There are times during a game when I watch the offense and think that there is nobody that can stop them, but then we fumble, have a penalty, throw an interception, shoot ourselves in the foot. If the offense can be turnover-free, not many penalties, we can play with almost anyone in the country. Not all our problems are the offense. The defense leaves a lot to be desired as well, but that's a discussion for later. I also hear all the complaints about Bo and wanting to fire him and get the next best thing. Not a good idea, according to the delusional Husker fan. Mm-hmm. Changeover in a major college program is not good. We'd be irrelevant for four more years, waiting to build our program. I think patience is our best option. We're getting the recruits. We're winning. And not even Tom Osborne won a title in his first 4 years. That's enough for today, boys and girls. Go Big Red. From delusional Husker fan, you sat right here on this set, this radio room, at the beginning of the year and said Nebraska would lose four football games. That was different than what I said. Mm-hmm. We'll still wait to see. Although the next three games, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, you say is going to be rough.
I think, and once again, my disclaimer, TV guys never have opinions, but when we get on the radio, things get crazy. I think they're losing two of the next three. It's unfortunate. I mean, you can't watch that Northwestern game and think they're going to win the next three. You can't look at that game, see the mistakes. A great win for Nebraska. It really was a great win. When you commit three turnovers, two of them by giving them an extra possession and losing a possession. I mean, anytime you have a turnover, you lose a possession, but sometimes you actually have the possession for a while before you lose it. Nebraska didn't even get a start two possessions because of botched punt returns, and they still won that game. I think the next three games, though, you look at this schedule, Michigan this week, I think that's a loss, unfortunately. And once again, we never can really say, I like Nebraska. I want Nebraska to win. I'm a Nebraska broadcaster, okay? They're not going to win this weekend. Michigan State in East Lansing, Wisconsin couldn't do it. Some teams are doing it this year. Notre Dame did it. But a situation where that game's iffy. Penn State is playing out of their minds right now. Sure, they lost their first two games, one of them to Frankie Solich in Ohio. But now, look at this team go. They're rolling through the Big Ten slate. They made Minnesota look like the kids of the corn. I mean, it's one of those deals now where Penn State's a team that could come in.
Can you imagine if Ohio State keeps winning and Penn State comes in and beats Nebraska and Lincoln while Frankie is beating them with Ohio? I just can't even.
So, but I mean, the last two games, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska's going to win. I'll give you those two. But the next three are huge. This weekend is essentially, in my opinion, the Legends Division Championship.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Hands down, Michigan will not lose three games. If Nebraska can't beat them, it ain't going to happen. So Nebraska needs to win this week. If they don't, start looking to next year, maybe start looking at some fun bowl matchups. Yeah, see
how great will it be if they run the table?
How great will it be if they run the table? That's what we want, Dougie.
Hey, we're over time, so let's finish off with this. A couple of notes. Congratulations to Danielle Lemick. No surprise that she is the Girls Amateur Golfer of the Year from the Nebraska Golf Association. 4 times in a row she's won that as she heads off to Bradley. There's all the football going on. There's a little bit of volleyball tonight. Kearney's at Grand Island, and a big matchup at Minden as they take on Seward tonight. Also, the sub-districts and district pairings came out. Of course, you never know what you're going to do in Class A until the end. For Kearney, this is next Wednesday, Halloween. They go to Lincoln Pius the 10th at 4 o'clock. Grand Island heads to Omaha to play Bellevue West next Wednesday as well. The B5 is at Kearney High. Starts next Tuesday. Grand Island Northwest, the top seed. They'll play the Hastings-Lexington winner while Holdridge takes on Aurora. The C16 at Grand Island Senior High is Tuesday. Central Catholic plays Adams Central. Central City plays Sandy Creek. And Kearney Catholic will play Gibbon Tuesday at 5 o'clock at Wood River, followed by Minden and St. Paul with the finals to follow that night. So that's what's going on with a little bit of that. St. Cecilia, the C29 is in Minden. They're the top seed. And on Monday night, they'll play the winner of the Superior Franklin matchup. And then Blue Hill and Southern Valley are on the other side of that bracket. So best of luck to the young ladies as well. Next week, every night, volleyball, volleyball, football, volleyball, volleyball, football, football, volleyball, as we get ready for the next round. But today, best of luck to all the teams in the area. We've got coverage all over the place. Go to PlatteRiverPreps.com. You can also listen to the podcast and keep up on scores from throughout the state all day long. And, of course, our games tonight. I'll be at the Ravenna-Donovan-Trumbull matchup. You're all over the place. Kearney Catholic is here on ESPN. Adams Central, St. Cecilia. We've got you all covered today as well. Spencer, thanks for coming in, man.
You bet. And when you're done listening to those sweet vocals of Doug Duda, tune into that NTV. We'll have the highlights.
Dang right. Spencer Schubert and the gang tonight on NTV. Want to thank Lance Creech, Hastings College men's basketball coach, and Luke Hoover of RotoWire for joining us today. Tomorrow, Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press, ESPN's Doug Glanville is going to join us on the show. So a double dose of football and baseball, plus Jim Langan's in. We've got $100 million up for grabs on Pigskin. Pick 'em tomorrow and a complete recap.
Somebody beat him.
Oh, my goodness. Nobody can. A complete recap of the first round of the C&D playoffs. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.